Our next speaker is also a retailer of Aw Yeah Comics, but this gentleman also has worked on Superman books before, including Superman Family Adventures. He currently writes the Green Team for DC Comics. He is an Eisner Award winner, which I think that's fucking cool. Mr. Art Balthazar, come on up.
Right. They took up all the stuff I wanted to say. But first encounter I ever had, well, I'll say who I am, Art. I did Superman books, Superman Family Adventures. It's for a first-time reader, like a six-year-old could read it or an adult could read it. I put the term all ages into the all ages books. And I worked with DC Comics before that with Tiny Titans. I did my own character, Patrick the Wolf Boy. I own a shop in beautiful downtown Skokie. And I get to stay home all day and make comics. So it's pretty awesome. But my first time I've ever saw Superman was on the, probably George Reeves with my dad. Sunday mornings we watched George Reeves and Superman, Lone Ranger. And you know, when Lone Ranger's riding a horse and he shoots, my dad would always hold me up in front of the TV, and he's like, Lone Ranger's gonna shoot you again. Yeah, every week I... So I knew him from the black and white George Reeves, and then he was on Super Friends. So me and six-year-old little Artie is watching Super Friends, thinking this is cool, because he got all these superheroes, he got Jan and Zane and Wonder Twins, Gleek is cool. And then the bad guys always get rid of Superman right away in the Super Friends. So then you see, oh no, what are they going to do? Superman down, the toughest guy is gone. So then Star Wars came out, and then I forgot about everything with Star Wars for I had all the toys, posters, clothes, pajamas, and all that stuff. Then Superman, the movie came out the next year. So I put all the Star Wars away. And I got all my Superman came back out. I was like, oh, this is cool. I was putting, you know, those Mego figures from the 70s with the clothes?
Yeah.
I was dressing all the guys up like Superman, Superboy, Supergirl, Lex Luthor. I had all these characters. I made a Jor-El. I still do that. I still customize Megos down. And then Empire Strike Back came out, so I put all those away. And then I'm playing with that again. I had the Millennium Falcon. I call my band the Falcon. I tell you earlier, I'll bring you out on a Falcon, honey. What? I'll meet you in the drive with the van. Oh, okay. So, but then Superman 2 came out, and that was it. Superman 2. Like, holy cow, this is awesome. Superman's fighting bad guys now. General Zod's coming on. I saw that movie so many times in a theater, and I grew up in the South Side of Chicago where the Brighton Theater was showing. When Superman 2 came to Brighton Theater, it was in there all for 5-6 months. Every Friday I'd see that movie in a Brighton Theater. You pay $1.75 to see like four movies. I get there at like 4:30 in the afternoon, and I went home at 11:30 at night. So I got to run away so the cops don't get you for curfew. But that was, man, that was incredible. So I got so into Superman. And then at that age, I was probably about 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there. So I started getting comics. I was into X-Men, Spider-Man, all those guys, but I pick up Superman. And John Byrne's Superman, where he ripped open his shirt, the Man of Steel. That one, man, I brought that. I bought that thing, and that was it. I was Superman crazy fanatic. And then it's just like Superman means so much to everybody. Even you guys mentioned you have the thing on your shirt. Shaq got the tattoo. You see kids in Southern Africa running around in dirt with Superman t-shirts on. You see kids in Guatemala running around. Superman saved the Guatemalans in the Donner Cut, too. you see that. And as I get older, you know, I got the movie on VHS. And so I rewatched that movie so many times. But as you get older, you find out, you know, everybody knows this. Even people who don't read comics know Superman is Superman. He does everything a man can do, but he's super. Even in his first book, he couldn't fly. Even in the movie, he couldn't fly. He leaped. And then he figured out how to fly, and it was joy. It was pure joy. So early on in the issues, he would leap tall buildings, swing around. They never said he flies over them. He leaps. So everything he does is super. So I'm thinking, he got super strength, super hearing, super eyesight. He's probably like a super sense of humor, probably a super dancer. He probably could cook really good. So I'm thinking all this stuff. And growing up, and after watching that first one, you see that movie when he's on the rooftop with Lois, You're like, in the, when you're a kid, you're like, all right, come on, get onto it. All right, get. But then you're watching, you're thinking, I'm seeing it as a, you know, mature man who's into chicks now and girls. And you're watching, he's like, yeah, Superman just wants to get her in the air through that whole scene. And she's trying to take, stay in character, but she got to do her interview. But every time she looks at her, she loses it. And then she even asks him, how old are you? He goes, over 21. She goes, oh, I get it. And then, you know, the, how big, what, you know, do you eat and all that stuff. So you, if you watch that scene, we're going to watch it later, but if you watch that scene, my favorite moment of that whole scene is, remember when he said, I never tested her? Did you ever, how fast can you go? And he goes, oh, I never tested it. He says, how about we go for a flight? And she goes, well, I'll be cold. And he took the pen and paper out of her hand. Nah, you'll be warm enough. And he threw it down. He goes, that's such a manly thing. Like, I'll get my coat. No, 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 come on. And so that was cool.
I got you, girl.
Yeah. So then back to the me being the artist thing. Superman made me want to draw comics and stuff. So I got all this. It's like getting a digital download every few years before it was even digital stuff. You just keep going in your head. You keep remembering things. You keep getting, building this myth of Superman, of what he means, what he's awesome in, tattoos and shirts, and he's better than everybody. He's the sign of hope. He has two sets of parents. He has to listen to his parents. He's from Kansas, middle America, where you go down there now and people are real nice. It's like way different than Chicago or New York. You go there and like, wow, nobody's asking me for money at the gas station. You go to a gas station 2 a.m. and the lady starts having a conversation about her cat. They're like, what? I just want to pay for my gas. But getting into comics, and then I met people at DC and I started doing the Tiny Titans book. And I was so overwhelming. It was like a dream come true, getting the draw for DC Comics, doing a monthly book. I ended up doing 50 issues of Tiny Titans. And way in the beginning, he even asked me, who are your favorite DC characters? And I said, I love Superman, I love the Teen Titans. And then they said, what would you like to do in Teen Titans? I'm like, cool. So Superman, again, he got first replaced by Star Wars for a while, and then Teen Titans came along. So I'm working on, I did 50 issues consecutive, and then they were talking about, they wanted to end it. Remember a few years ago when the new 52 came out and relaunched number ones? I was approaching issue 50, and the conversations on the phone were like, oh, well, we want to relaunch Tiny Titans at a number one. It'll be really cool to get new people. I'm like, nah, kids are going to be confused. Little kids go in a store, they're going to say, I already got number one. Where's the next one? Where's number whatever? So we decided to end Tiny Titans at issue 50 to give it a nice solid block. And then they said, well, think about what else you want to do. And we'll have a meeting in San Diego in like 2 months. Figure out what do you want to do next. I'm thinking, damn, what do you do with Tiny Titans? And I kept thinking in my head, I want to do Superman. So I was telling my partner, Franco, I said, oh, if we write stories together. He goes, well, what do you want to do? So we had these 5 different pitches, all kinds of pitches, and I kept developing Superman. Right, we'll work on this. No, I'll add this to Superman. We'll do this and this. So we were going to the meeting, and I kept thinking, oh, we can't pitch Superman. It's this whole Siegel Schuster lawyer stuff, and then there's this whole new costume thing. And I don't know if I want to do it. And then you got that last movie where he was crying and hovering outside. And like, the good thing about that movie, though, is Brandon Routh did a good Superman, and he was Superman. He knew who he was. But he was like, I don't know, deadbeat dad stuff. And then the new one, he was an alien, and like that was never Superman. Like you said earlier, here's another thing. I'm backtracking again. And this is kind of weird, like how I relate to him, but people don't really know the thing. But I'm a Mexican Irish kid, and growing up, people always ask, how come you don't speak Spanish? We don't speak Spanish. I'm from Southside Chicago. I don't. And they're like, I don't know what Ireland. They speak in Ireland either. So, and then they're like, well, you don't speak Spanish. How come you don't have Cinco de Mayo, or how come you don't have a cotillion, whatever you're doing? I said, because I wasn't raised that way. And then I relate to Superman. He's from Krypton, but he lives as an American. So he doesn't know the culture from Krypton. He doesn't wear the suits. He doesn't talk like General Zod. He's cool. He's a Clark Kent from Smallville with the curl and the red coat and stuff. So that was my relative. But back to now. So I worked on a Superman pitch forever, like two, three months straight. I'm agonizing over this thing. Make sure all the words are spelt right. Make sure the characters are good. I used a new costume so I could get the job. I go into the pitch, and not only was like I land in San Diego on Tuesday. I wish the thing was Monday morning so I could go shower and go eat breakfast after the pitch. But no, I had to wait till Saturday afternoon. So every day at San Diego, kind of agonizing. Like, oh God, the boss walked by. And I'm like, hey, you know, sorry, don't worry. Wait, Saturday afternoon? I know, it's only Thursday morning, you know. So I got this nice book, pitch, everything, perfect colors. I got Crypto in there, Streaky, or Supergirl, Superboy, Mama Kent, Jor-El, whole bit, Brainiac, Luthor, all the guys are in there. I got story pitches for all bunch of issues laid out, and I hand it to the editor-in-chief, or Dan DiDio from executive, whatever. He's the boss now, but he had a title then. Now he's, but he opened the thing and went like this. Perfect, let's do it. You know? But, so that was awesome. And so called my dad, and because he wanted to know. He goes, Dad, like, guess what? He goes, what? I said, they said yes. He goes, to Superman? I said, yeah. So you're going to draw Superman and write him too? Wow. He said, so let's see. You worked at DC, you did Tiny Titans. You're at DC Comics now. You're making Superman comics. And he goes, so what do you do now? I don't know. I gotta figure out what to do with this. But my dad grew up on Superman. I grew up on Superman. Everybody grew up on Superman. He's 75 years old this year, and he's like, "Gee, I'm wearing a homemade Superman necklace because it had the S on there. I'm wearing the Flash hair." But he's Superman's friend, and he makes me go fast. And Superman has always been part of my life. He's in my blood. He's in my heart. And I want to... Oh, buddy. What he's... he's always been in my heart, in my life. And there's only... He's got to be everywhere. I would love to do this first. Henceforth, the darker glasses today.
One more time, that was fantastic.